Stop Stealing Secrets and Play Fair. America airs its business complaints about China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The U.S. and China wrap up high-level economic talks in Washington today. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports on the key issues, which include trade barriers, currency manipulation, and digital spying.
Today, it's meet and greet for U.S. and Chinese CEOs at the talks. Each side wants more access to the other's lucrative market.
There's this growing perception in China that the United States is not open to foreign direct investment.
Nicholas Borst at the Peterson Institute says Chinese companies have faced opposition investing in American telecoms, wind farms, and pork processors. U.S. companies, in turn, want lower trade barriers.
Easing restrictions on high-tech exports from the U.S. to China.
Meanwhile, the U.S. continues to complain of Chinese hacking and corporate espionage. But, says China expert Martin Jacques,
America was caught a bit with their trousers down on this one.
That's because of revelations by fugitive leaker Edward Snowden about U.S. cyber spying.
The United States is technologically by far the most competent to engage in cyber espionage,
making it harder to press the same charge against China. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
China's security ministry says execs at the British drug company GlaxoSmithKline have confessed to bribery charges. They're accused of bribing officials and doctors in order to boost sales. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Glaxo says it monitors staff behavior continuously and has found no evidence of bribery or corruption. But it's clearly coming under intense pressure from the Chinese authorities on several fronts. The company is also one of a number of big multinational drug firms already under investigation in China over alleged price fixing. The Chinese healthcare market is growing faster than anywhere else. Health insurance coverage is expanding rapidly. Gus Ando of IHS Global Insight says Beijing, like other governments around the world, is battling to keep a lid on drug prices.
As soon as you expand insurance and expand in coverage, you're going to have to think about, well, how on earth do you control the costs of adding so many people to their healthcare insurance scheme? And that immediately puts pressure on pharmaceutical prices.
He says the Chinese government's also plowing billions into building up China's domestic pharma industry, which has a poor reputation for drug safety and does not enjoy widespread public trust. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading. In Europe, the markets are rising. Asian markets closed strong today, with several regional indices hitting multi-week highs. Investors apparently liked the speech from Ben Bernanke yesterday. Japanese shares rose modestly compared to the rest of Asia, held down by a strong yen. Nikkei closed up 0.4%. Staying in Japan, the central bank there upgraded its economic view, saying the country's economy is starting to recover moderately.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
It looks like NSA leaker Edward Snowden is headed to Latin America, where several countries are offering asylum. Other news outlets are focusing on the politics, but we want to look at this through a marketplace lens to see how these countries are doing economically and what kind of life Snowden could live there. Stephen Keppel covers economics for Univision. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Mark.
So let's start with Venezuela, the apparent front runner. What's the economy like there? And so what would Snowden's quality of life be?
The Venezuelan economy is a mess. Growth is near zero. There's still some instability after the election. Inflation is near 30%. So if Snowden goes to Venezuela, he'd be entering a pretty tough economic situation.
Okay. Now let's talk about Bolivia, which has also offered to take in Snowden. What's the economy like there?
Yeah, Bolivia's a much smaller economy. It's still one of the poorest countries in Latin America. However, it's had pretty steady and stable growth, and this is mainly because it still has a pretty booming oil and mining industry. But aside from that, there's not a whole lot else. So I don't know what type of job prospects Snowden would have there. I'm not sure what he would do if he were to go to Bolivia.
Okay, now let's talk about Nicaragua. That's the other country willing to grant asylum. Like, what are the kind of, you know, opportunities that he might find there in terms of something to invest in or finding a place to stay, like that kind of thing?
Nicaragua is another poor country, again, one of the poorest in the region. However, you know, we're seeing growth around 4%. It's a little bit less authoritarian, perhaps, than Venezuela. So there's a few opportunities, I think, in Nicaragua for perhaps a little more laid-back lifestyle.
Just thinking about the economics of the country and the potential quality of life he would have, what do you think on an economic basis would be the best place for him to accept asylum?
I would probably choose Nicaragua. You know, he could probably find a nice place to hide away and find something to do. Bolivia is also a stable option. I definitely think Venezuela, for him, is the worst option. He's just 30 years old. There's a lot of economic instability. You know, the government could change, you know, in the next few years, and then what's he going to do?
And Nicaragua is actually a popular destination for Americans who don't have anything to hide, who are not on the run, but just looking for an affordable place to retire.
That's right. I was talking to a reporter here yesterday who was mentioning that the retirement industry in Nicaragua is booming. It's got some really nice property. It's inexpensive. And a lot of the Americans that were going to Costa Rica are kind of spilling over into Nicaragua and finding it a nice place to live. The politics and economics are still a little bit crazy and up in the air, but hey, it's a beautiful spot.
Okay, Stephen Keppel of Univision, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, no more fancy French meals for French bankers. The Wall Street Journal reports Crédit Agricole is ordering its investment bankers to stick to a 25-euro limit on meals in Paris. "It's embarrassing," an unnamed banker moans to the paper. "I can barely afford an entree and a glass of wine." Actually, he most certainly can. He's just going to have to pay for it himself from now on. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.